What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Tariq Radio Show. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have all of you tuning in. I've been off for a couple of weeks doing this show, but I'm back. I'm here, ready to chop up great game as we always do. Let everybody know that we're live right now. Everybody come on in the room. Share the link. Everybody hit that thumbs up button. Let everybody know that we are doing what we do. And what we're going to do, family, we're going to take that real quick commercial break. And it's going to be quick. Don't worry. And we'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
The Hurricane Report is a news website dedicated to lovingly serving the Black American community. Go to our website, h-report.news. Subscribe to us. Follow us on Instagram at h_REEEPOORT. Twitter at the H-Report2. And share the articles. You can purchase merch, donate, or drop us a line through our contact form. Go to h-report.news. Take action and maintain freedom.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave a little blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I said, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Glad to have y'all tuning back in. Oh, man. New year. Is this the first show of the new year? I think this is my first show here of the new year. I've been traveling. I've been on vacation. So I'm locked and loaded. I'm ready. Nice and refreshed. Man, we're starting the new year off with a blast. As you guys should know by now, we are having the Foundational Black American Conference in Atlanta at the Georgia World Congress Center. Nice, huge, beautiful venue right smack dab in the heart of Atlanta. That's going to be June 20th, 2020. But we got a great lineup, ladies and gentlemen. If you go to FBAC2020.com, you can get your tickets now. All of my vendors, you guys want to get a vending spot there? Go to FBAC2020.com, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have me there. I'm going to be hosting the main event. The main panel and lectures, we're going to have the incomparable Professor James Small, the legend. He's going to be dropping so much hot fire. We're going to have our brother, another game spitter, hot fire spitter, my brother RZA Islam. We're going to have our brother, Dr. Boyce Watkins, dropping that heat. We're going to have our brother, Kaba Kamane. He's going to be dropping that heat. We're going to have Sister Shahrazad Ali. She's going to be down there breaking it down. Y'all know it's going to be hot fire when Sister Shahrazad Ali comes through. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a special dedication to her. We're going to actually give her a Lifetime Achievement Award for just being just so thorough and being a warrior of truth and power. Oh, y'all can't miss this family. Not only that, just added, just confirmed, his flight and hotel and everything has already been booked. Everybody's stuff has pretty much been booked. These are the people who's confirmed. We're going to have Mr. Judge Joe Brown down there breaking the game down. We confirmed him the other day. He's not on the flyer. We're going to change the flyer when we get everybody else confirmed. This thing is going to be a monster. Do y'all understand how hot fire this is going to be? This type of energy? These powerful black people speaking truth to power? Somebody said Dr. Wilson deserved that. Absolutely. This is why I believe in giving our brothers and sisters their flowers while they're here, giving them their accolades while they're here. I never got a chance to do that for Dr. Wilson. We're going to do that for Shahrazad Ali, though. This thing is going to be phenomenal. And, you know, the powers that be, they have been hating on this event. They've been sending their Negro minions. They've been sending their agents to try their damnedest to undermine this thing. It has not worked. We are having this thing. The venue is already paid for in full. I mean, this thing is going, and we're still booking guests who's going to be there too. This is going to be a great opportunity for my black business owners. There's so many great black people who are business owners who I'm going to be working with, bringing them in. A lot of vendors are signing on, so you're going to get a chance to network with black business owners, just black professionals, just foundational black Americans in the house, networking with each other, doing business. Not sitting around talking about how we can't get shit done. Not sitting around talking about how we need white zaddy allies all up in our damn mix. Ain't going to be no goddamn allies up in here. I promise you that. Don't need no fucking allies. We are the allies. We got family. We're family. That's all we need. We got to understand the power in drawing the line in the sand. We don't need nobody because nobody's helping us. It ain't going to be no twerking. It ain't going to be no NIMMY nominated producers. It ain't going to be none of that nonsense. It ain't going to be no intersectionality. This is all about foundational black American empowerment. That's where the line in the sand is drawn. Everything else can walk. People are trying their damnedest to get us to pivot and move and get finessed into all of these other non sequiturs that ain't got nothing to do with our empowerment. All these things that's going to be putting us in a position where we're just holding the bag and nothing is popping off for us. We ain't doing that. We are drawing the line in the sand. Everything that we're going to focus on is going to be about foundational black American empowerment. That's all that's going to happen here. We're talking about what we need to do to empower ourselves as a group. We don't need no help from no other people because, like I said, other people don't do anything but come in and try to infiltrate and throw salt in the game. So look, they got a lot of their Negro minions, the Democrats especially. The Democrats are really sending their Negro minions to attack, to try to undermine, to try to troll. But we're too thorough. We're playing past all that. I want everybody to be in the house June 20th in Atlanta. This is going to be the event of the year. Go to FBAC2020.com to come on down and get involved. Everybody, if you were on the Indiegogo campaign, if you contributed to that, you already got your tickets, you're good to go. If you already contributed to that, you're good to go. You got your advance tickets, you are good to go. But this thing is going to be lovely, and I'm very excited about it. And the thing is, we have to understand that people are going to try to paint a picture that well, you guys are being divisive. You guys are being exclusive. You're excluding people, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't let anybody shame you, because we're excluded from everything. Everybody excludes us from their things. People have exclusive events and they leave us out the mix all the time. They only want to bring us around when they can get something out of it for themselves. But we're always excluded from everybody's business. And we don't really trip on it. The minute we start talking about drawing the line in the sand and being exclusive, everybody wants to cry foul because everybody's been riding our backs. Everybody's been riding our backs. And we've been bending over, allowing them to do it. And the fact that we're standing up now and saying, hey, no more back ride. Now, we're standing up. We're going to walk and stand for ourselves. Everybody wants to cry foul right now. And we're not trying to hear it. Now, in other places, if you are an ally in another place, another country somewhere, and you want to help put in work, we'll never reject that. And again, we're not knocking any other black person on the planet. You're not being knocked. We're not criticizing you. This is not really about you. We're all a global family, but I've made this analogy before. You have extended family and you have immediate family. And Foundational Black Americans, we are immediate family. And one thing, we've neglected immediate family for a long time. And I was talking to Brother James Small the other day, and he was talking about this, how people expect us, Foundational Black Americans, to just be invisible all the damn time. We ain't supposed to say nothing for ourselves. Somebody said GWCC is a great location. Man, it's an excellent location, man. Great location. Because we've already got damn near 2,000 pre-sale tickets. So we were having a hard time getting a large venue. We're really having a hard time for a minute. But then there was a sister down there who actually worked at the GWCC. Real cool sister. And she made it happen. And man, we got a real nice spot that's so accommodating. It's going to be accommodating for the crowd, accommodating for the vendors. It's a beautiful, beautiful layout, man. Real nice thing to accommodate thousands and thousands of people. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing. And like I said, security is going to be hella tight. We're going to have the FOIs out there. Oh, it's going to be the safest place in Atlanta. I keep telling people, it ain't going to be no bullshit. I promise you that. It's going to be the safest place in the joint. But like I'm saying, man, we're not knocking other folks. Look, in order for us to link up with other folks globally, we got to get ourselves tight. See, we're trying to be on some kumbaya, we are the world thing, and we haven't really gotten our thing codified as Foundational Black Americans. See, we have to take care of that first. We have to strengthen our unit first and not let people keep infiltrating us. And see, once we get that unit straight, then we can take the show on the road. That's how we got to look at it. I saw my brother Akon, the singer rapper. He was talking about investing in Africa. And he talks about it a lot. I think in one of those countries, I want to say Senegal, he has his own town there. I think he made some kind of deal where he has his own town and he's going to provide, I think, electricity and certain things. And that's a great thing, not knocking that at all. And he's been really trying to get other black people over here to invest in Africa, to go home, go to Africa. And there's a few things that I disagree with that narrative to a certain degree. And again, I'm not knocking him. Let me play a little clip of Akon talking about Africa and how black people should invest and how you can get wealthy in Africa and all this. Hold on.
Do it, because we've done it here and made billions of dollars for corporations all day. Africa's the only place in the world where black people can go and build Fortune 500 companies from scratch within 5 years.
It could be like China, easily.
No, seriously. And this took them hundreds of years to build. You can build it now within 5 years. Yeah. China took that same You know, mine stayed 25 years ago. China was no different from Africa 25 years ago. Go to China now.
So black people. For all our black people, yes.
Go back to Africa. Okay. Whatever you're doing here, do it there. Whether it's real estate, entertainment, education.
Label, sneaker company.
Whatever.
Clothing line.
Whatever.
Started there. And I've never actually been to Africa because I...
Okay. I kind of disagree with what he's saying. I'm going to be very honest. And I'm not knocking him. Let me touch on this. He's saying, what are we doing here? We can go over there and do it over there. Man, Akon, brother, they look at you differently than they look at us. I think Akon can go over there and get stuff popping because Akon is not a foundational black American. So he's looked at as one of them. And again, they don't look at him as an Akata. So I think they might be willing to do more business with him. And plus, he's going over there with a big bag. He's going over there with a big bag. So the thing is, with us, if we go over there, we got to go over there with a big fucking bag. Because, look, I done went over there, and I've been to several spots over there asking for dual citizenship, and people were just kind of twiddling their thumbs, ignoring the question. Let's be real. I'm going to be 100. I done went over there and just said, hey, let's do something basic like dual citizenship. And they were like, anyway, would you like some jollof rice? You understand? Let's keep it 100, man. Ain't nobody really welcoming us over there in open arms. They're not really providing anything, no dual citizenship. Like, hey, let's get, there's a lot of land over here. Let's get some dual citizenship and we'll give you this land to show that we're really down to get some investing and some business and some linking up going on. They're just not doing it. So if we go over there, if black folks go over there, we got to go over there with what, a couple of million damn dollars. We got to build a whole city. What Akon is doing, Akon is worth a grip. So he has to go over there. Yeah, if you're building a damn city, yeah, they'll welcome you with open arms. But damn, the average brother ain't really holding that type of bag. We can go over there with a little something, but we ain't holding a bag like that, like Akon is holding. Well, we can build a damn city, so yeah, they're going to welcome him. You understand? They're talking about all this investing and all that, and people are being so cryptic and vague about what exactly are you investing in? What are you investing in over there? What's the return of the investment? Who are the customers? Because the people over there really don't have money like that. So who are the customers? I mean, how y'all doing it? You dig? So what we need to do, we need to stay where we are and just get it popping where we are first. We can get it popping here. We can get it popping right here. Not, that's not to knock our brother. I like to do international business. But just the reality, I like to be practical about a lot of things, and cats ain't just, they're really not throwing the doors open, welcoming us with open arms, unless we got like a huge bag, and they reserve that for us, for black Americans, for foundational black Americans, because let me tell you, the Asians don't have to have a big bag like that. They just come on through and get a green light. They don't do that for these. They don't do that for white mommy and white daddy. White mommy, white daddy come over there with $2 and they'll own the fucking whole village in a week. They don't require all that. Let me tell you something. With black folks, we got to jump through all types of hoops and bring all types of millions of dollars over there. And they let white pedophiles come over there all over Africa and run amok. Can we talk truth to power? We just got to talk truth. I'm not trying to denigrate anybody. I'm not trying to throw salt, but we need to talk what's really happening, man. Did y'all see that article that came out this week over there in Gambia? They call that shit the pedophile paradise. The Sun newspaper did an expose. All them goddamn British pedophiles going over there. It's sick as hell. And the same thing is going on in Kenya and all these other countries. A lot of parts of Africa are being used as pedophile playgrounds. Pedophilia over there is rampant. Let's keep that thing a buck, man. They got all types of requirements for black folks. but the pedophiles can come over there and just have carte blanche. Y'all go look up that story in the Sun. All them pedophiles over there and the parents co-signing the shit. Let me read a part of the article from the Sun. It said, the problem is the abuse is sometimes carried out with the blessings of the parents because they are so in need. The perception is that white people have stacks of cash and these parents are often excited that their child has attracted the attention of a white man. It actually makes them feel proud, so they give their permission for the boy or girl to go with the person, and when the police tries to question them, they will not cooperate. Dude, I'm cool. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm cool. I'm sorry, dude. That type of shit right there, that zaddy worship to the point of letting your kids get violated? Nah. Nah. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, that's something that Foundation of Black Americans don't fuck around with. And you know, the thing that kills me, and I talked about this on Twitter, because this is just not exclusive to the Gambia area. This is all over Africa, man. I've been over there. I'm telling you what I've seen. I've been over there. And some of y'all who've been over there, y'all seen it. Y'all see these white sex tourists over there with these kids? Y'all seen it. I've seen it there. I've seen it in the Caribbean. You go to these places and it's pedophile rest havens. That's all it is. And the ironic thing is some of these Negroes will immigrate from there and come over here and start up shit like Mute R. Kelly. They come over here trying to shit on Black Americans because of goddamn R. Kelly. Remember, the people who started the Mute R. Kelly thing is a Somalian immigrant. Her name is something Barnes. Me and her were going back and forth, and I think she blocked my ass because she's talking all that shit about Black Americans, and she had a Somalian flag on her Twitter, and we were clowning her ass, and she took her Somalian flag down once we pointed out all the fucking pedophilia going on in damn Somalia and all the sex crimes and the rape that she ain't saying nothing about. They don't say nothing about the rape and pedophilia, the sex crimes, and all of this stuff that goes on in their home countries, but they come over here trying to dump on us when they get around white mommy, white daddy. This is why we're drawing the line in the sand. We're drawing the line in the sand. I don't want to hear nothing from these Tarana Burks, all these people coming from these Caribbean islands. Their family come from these little Caribbean cultures where pedophilia is rampant. They're still investigating Epstein's pedophile island over there in the Virgin Islands. There were so many kids being raped over there and molested, they called it Pedophile Island, right over there in the Virgin Islands with all those white ass kissing Negroes. And then they want to bring their asses over here talking about, well, your Black culture, y'all have a rape culture. You have a rape culture. You niggas, you Akatas have rape culture. Fuck out of here. Let's keep this thing a buck. Anyway, what else is going on out here? They still parading Lizzo's big ass out here. They still running around, got her in bathing suits, parading her around like a big plantation mammy, giving her awards and all this old stuff. There was some white woman who was a fitness expert who was talking about, you know, Lizzo, I don't know why y'all celebrating her weight. She might get diabetes. And then they started attacking the white woman. Other white people started attacking her like, hey, leave our mammy alone. That's the only time they'll defend a black person, when a black person is doing some destructive shit to themselves. That's when they'll defend them. Because see, Jillian Michael, I think that's her name, she's getting off code. You're supposed to shut up and celebrate this woman being morbidly obese. We're supposed to sit around and act like that's something fly. Don't sit around here telling the truth. No, you don't tell the truth that she's going to possibly get diabetes and fall over and croak. No, 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 no. We want these Negroes to be morbidly obese like this, running around. We're pretending to celebrate it. Because remember, the only people co-signing Lizzo's mammyism and nonsense are white people and gay black people. Notice that? Black women don't really co-sign no damn Lizzo. Her audience is not black women. Black women knows what that looks like. They know, I mean, I'm talking about real black women, thorough black women. Black women don't want to be like no damn Lizzo, a big plantation mammy. You know what she is. She's embarrassing to black women. But gay black dudes and gay black people like her, and white people like her. That's her primary audience. Because she's not competition. See, white women like that, and gay black dudes like it because she's not competition. They like a big old mammy, because when you hang around, if you a gay black dude, you hanging around a Lizzo, and y'all run into a zaddy, well, the gay black dude has more of a chance with the zaddies than Lizzo. So that's why they like that. They like a big, sloppy, overweight woman, because she's not competition. You understand? They don't want no competition. She's not a threat. White women like her because she's not a threat. They like that. That's why in daytime talk shows and daytime television, all those shows, they got like an overweight white, overweight black woman on the panel. They always got to have the overweight black woman who's non-threatening to the white women. They like that. You know, they're always, the white supremacists are always threatened by our sexuality. Attractive black women, they always rub white women the wrong way. White women do not like attractive black women working anywhere around white men. That's why when you go to jobs, you always see, usually, if there's a lot of white people at a job, there's a big mammy somewhere right in the front. Notice that? If you go to an office somewhere where there's a lot of white people, and how most offices are set up, it's majority white in the back, and they put the one black person in the front to give the illusion of diversity. That's the whole concept of a spook who sat by the door. That's where that term came from. The spook is the black person. You put a black person by the door, so when somebody walks into a business, they see a black person, and it gives the illusion of integration. But it's usually that one black person. That's how TMZ is set up. On TMZ, they'll put all the black folks on TV. Y'all notice that on TMZ, they got Harvey Levin, whatever his name is, and he's sitting there with the black people. Those are the only black people in that whole building. I've been in there. There's nothing but white people in there, and those same four black folks. You dig? But they've always been funny style about our sexuality. Everybody hit the thumbs up button, by the way. Hit that thumbs up button, family. Hit the thumbs up button and then hit the subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up button and hit the subscribe button. You understand? But like I said, our sexuality threatens the white women and the white males. Did y'all see what they tried to pull on Odell Beckham? Odell Beckham, there was a game in Louisiana, and I don't really follow sports like that, but from what I understand, there was a game. I don't know who was playing. People in the chat room, help me out. Who was playing out there in, I think it was in New Orleans. It was in New Orleans. There was a football game and somebody won. They were celebrating in the locker room. Help me out, family. It was a national championship. It was Clemson versus LSU. Okay, LSU won, right? Okay, I don't follow that shit. Somebody like, damn, Blake. I really don't follow that. That's not, I don't follow it at all. Okay. It was a college football championship. So, you know, they won. LSU won, right? LSU won. So they were celebrating in the locker room. So somebody, I think they were passing around cigars. So a little race soldier was in there, a white stadium cop was in there harassing the black men. Oh, he had to bust their bubble. You know, you couldn't let them shine. You couldn't let them get their moment of shine. He used that as his opportunity to go in there and harass the black male players. So he's in there checking them for cigars. Who got the cigar? Put the cigar. What's that in your bottle? It was another black player trying to see what was in his bottle. So he's back there just busting balls. Because these young black men are happy. They're celebrating. They won a game. But no, he has to go in there and be the big plantation daddy. That's all that was. He was in there trying to be a plantation daddy. So he went in there trying to bust people's balls. It was a joyful atmosphere. So Odell Beckham was in the dressing room, in the locker room. And Odell Beckham playfully slapped the officer on his ass, slapped him on the butt. And when Odell did that, I said, oh, brother, this dude, man, bruh, you shouldn't have done that because this is a race soldier. This dude is looking for something. And sure enough, a couple of days later, after Odell slapped him on the ass, I don't think the guy was a real cop. I think he was a stadium cop or stadium security or something like that. So he wasn't even a real cop, but this bitch-ass dude, this race soldier, went and filed charges against Odell Beckham. Do you know the initial charge was sexual assault? This quote-unquote white officer went down to the police station and filed a sexual assault charge initially. He filed for sexual assault. See, that's their fantasy. The problem was the judge rejected that. The judge rejected it because the judge was like, basically, hey, look, I'm on code with you. I'm not even bullshitting. Look that up. Look it up. The initial charge was sexual assault. The judge said, hey, buddy, I'm on the white supremacist code with you, but that one is going to be a hard sell, buddy. Yeah, that's going to be a hard sell. Let's just do simple battery. I'll give you a warrant for simple battery. So they changed it to simple battery and then put a warrant out for Odell's arrest. But see where their mindset is? He got sexually assaulted in his mind. That's his fantasy. That's these little white supremacist fantasies. That butt-breaking thing. Every time they come around us, it's always something sexual. White supremacy and sexuality, oh, that shit goes hand in hand. Y'all got to study Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. It's all sexual when they get around us. It all becomes, we're just one big penis to them. So him getting smacked on his ass, well, just him being touched, well, ooh, I got raped. Oh, I got raped by this big old black man. You dig? This is how sick these white supremacists are. They're sick and they're desperate right now. They're desperate to feel superior because their numbers are dwindling so much and they see these powerful black men out here putting in work and they cannot beat you on the field, so they need their system of white supremacy to beat you off the field. So we got to understand how the game is played out here. Black men, black women, we're on the same page. We got to get off this thing where we're going to get some allies somewhere and we're going to identify with these non-existent allies. You think y'all going to... We let these Democrats and these politicians sit up and tell us, well, the black women are the bones of the black community and they're the foundation of the party and they're the foundation. They run that game on you and they treat you just the same way as they treat us. There were some black women up there in Oakland, out here in California, who were homeless and they were in these homes out there in Oakland. And they came through, the race soldiers came through with armored vehicles, with riot gear, all the shit they use on black men, they got use that on them sisters to get them out them houses up there. They use the same equipment, the same military-grade equipment, on those black women, these black mothers who are homeless up there in the Bay Area. We're on the same page. And we got to draw the line against people who's going to be on this goofy-ass intersectionality, these people who are going to identify with their sexuality over everything. Y'all saw what happened up there in Chicago. In Chicago, there were some aldermen up there who were opposing them. Some lawmakers are trying to create set-asides for the LGBT community to get businesses up there. So some of the black men who were in politics were like, hey, what's that about? If we're going to get some set-asides, that should be for the black community up here who really needs it. How are we going to have set-asides for LGBT businesses? What sense does that make? The set-asides are supposed to be for oppressed groups. So there were a lot of black people in politics speaking out against it. They were like, well, hell, if y'all going to do that, somebody can just pretend to be LGBT and start getting the funds and the resources. I mean, you're opening the door to a lot of, you know, shenanigans if you do that. And Lori Lightfoot, the mayor up there, the mayor, puppet mayor, the LGBT negress, who looks like a dark-skinned Yvette Carnell, she was up there going off on the brothers in politics. And she had her cape on. She had her strap on and her cape on, caping for the LGBT community. Y'all got to hear some of this stuff. Let me play some of the news clips of this stuff. Hold on one second, because this is ridiculous. And this is why you better watch these people who come in here with that Trojan horse shit. They talk black 1 minute, but they got these other little agendas going on. And then when you least expect it, all of a sudden they flip that agenda. They'll start talking black and then all of a sudden start talking LGBT. You watch that. Hold on.
Today's city council meeting got heated over studying contract set-asides for LGBTQ-owned businesses.
As a leader, as a black gay woman proud on all fronts, I have to say I'm disturbed by the nature of the committee discussion and the nature of the discussion here today.
The mayor wants a one-year study to determine if LGBTQ-owned businesses face discrimination in getting city contracts. Several aldermen say they're concerned about allowing set-asides for the LGBTQ community. For example, one alderman said someone could pretend to be gay to get an advantage. However, the council approved the study overwhelmingly.
So, and again, the governor there, his sister up there is a transgender, was a man who transgendered into a woman, so the political structure there is really clicked in with that whole LGBT crowd, and she's a puppet of that. Lori Lightfoot is a puppet of that. Let me play the longer clip of Lori Lightfoot somewhat reprimanding these black aldermen who were speaking against these set-asides for the LGBT community, because what you're doing, basically, when you say you're going to give some set-asides to the LGBT community, you're giving that to white dudes. The black folks ain't getting shit. Black LGBT, you'd never get none of those LGBT benefits. Whenever they start talking about LGBT benefits, it don't go to the black gay people. Let's be real. It don't go to you. All those set-asides go to white gay men, and they practice the same anti-black racism as the white straight community. This is what the movie Buck Breaking is going to break down. But listen to Lori Lightfoot, the damn Trojan horse.
I don't normally speak during city council debates, and I won't use this privilege often. But I feel compelled to speak to this issue. When I was a child, I grew up at a time when racial discrimination was very much on the table. And I heard and witnessed and experienced a lot of offensive, harmful things said in my presence as a black child. As a child, I didn't have the words, the voice, or the strength to speak up. And I bear the shame of my silence.
Now, notice how she's talking about racism at first. See, this is the pivot. This is the finesse. She's talking about racism. Now, how, as a black person, the racism was so bad.
It's to this day. When I was coming out in my 20s.
Here it is.
Similarly, I was worried about how I would be perceived.
This is the finesse. See, I was, as a black person, the racism was bad. And also me coming out as a lesbian, I felt the similar pain. That's the con game right there. This is why it's that whole shit with Black Lives Matter. They try to compare being black to sexuality. It is not the damn same. And they put these puppet ass niggas out here to play these fucking games all the time.
And I let people say terrible things about gays and lesbians in my presence. And I was silent. I will be silent no more on any issue when people say and do things that are offensive and racist. I feel like I have an obligation to speak. And so I am. It's not the questions that are the problem. It is the content of the questions and the offensive nature of the tone and the questions and the concern.
Now, she's talking to the black folks like this. She don't talk to the white people. When white people practice racism, she don't talk like this. She ain't talking all bold and strong, all them racist fucking cops out there in Chicago doing God knows what. She don't talk all that old bold, her strap-on is on real tight. She ain't talking like that to them. But the black folks, yeah, she's going to talk like that to the black folks.
In quotes that were expressed. And as a leader, as a black gay woman, on all fronts, I have to say I'm disturbed by the nature of the committee discussion and the nature of the discussion here today. We need not ask anyone's indulgence, patience, or forgiveness or acceptance to be who we are and who we love. And that will never happen as long as I am in this body.
She's telling you, I'm caping for the LGBT community.
For any member of a discriminated community to give indulgence to offensive words spoken by someone else, in some ways, that's even worse. My friends, the pie is big enough to slice it in lots of other ways.
Go to hell.
What we are asking.
Go to hell. Go to hell. Go to hell. The pie is not big enough. Go to hell. The white LGBT community, they already got a damn pie. The white LGBT community, they have a pie and they hold the pie away from us. Anytime we start talking about giving something to black folks, well, what about other marginalized groups? What about minority? What about the LG? They have not been marginalized. Some of them have been the ones doing the marginalizing against us.
Data, a study where other ways. Pie is big enough.
Hold on, let me take this back.
My friends, the pie is big enough to slice it in lots of other ways.
Well, how come we don't have shit? If it's so damn big, why we always get the goddamn crumbs? If the pie is so damn big, okay, then where's the damn reparations then? If the pie is big enough, where them reparations at then? Whenever we talk about reparations, damn, we ain't got it. But the pie is big enough for everybody damn else. Okay, where's our reparations then? She has to go. They got to get her the hell up out of Chicago.
What we are asking for is data, a study to determine.
Who that sound like? What we need is some data. Who that sound like? That data. We need some data. The data. Who does that sound like? Does that sound familiar? There's a light-skinned thing. And she's strappy. There's a dark skin thing. And she's strappy. Light strappy and dark strappy. Talking that data shit. Here they go. When you put a strap on, do you automatically start talking about some damn data and start running this bullshit ass con game? Oh, Lord. Hear that data. Oh, Lord.
Where we are. And yes, of course, we need to work on other issues, but we need not victimize, demonize, and discriminate through our words against anyone else.
Ain't nobody discriminating against. We don't have the power to discriminate against white LGBT people. For us to want set-asides for ourselves because we've been marginalized, That ain't discriminating against them. We've been discriminated by them. This is why we need set-asides. The white LGBT community has been inherently anti-black ever since we've been here. Going past J. Edgar Hoover, who was LGBT, they've terrorized black society. We got to stop letting these people run these con games on us, man. And then putting their little Negro puppets out there. When I saw her, when they wheeled her out, talking about she's the first black lesbian mayor, I knew fuckery was going to ensue.
Because we are worried about what the size of the pie is going to be for me. So please, our children are watching. Please choose your words carefully in this body. We are leaders. People look to us.
No, you not. You ain't none of our leaders, Lori. Damn that. See, this is why when these Negroes come around here talking about data and they're the leader, watch them. She ain't none of my leader. She ain't my leader. She's not the leader of the black people in Chicago. She's a puppet of the white LGBT community. That's all she is. That's enough of her. I don't want to hear no more of her bullshit. This, ladies and gentlemen, this is why we have to watch these Trojan horse Negroes out here who sit up here and talk black and all of a sudden they start pivoting into something else. They'll talk black for a minute and then all of a sudden, hey, y'all, let's go vote down Democrat. And then when you start looking at them, what's with all the rainbows and all that? Oh, no, 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 that's just something we're doing. Y'all look like an LGBT organization. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. We black. We black. We all about blackness. Well, who's this white man? Oh, we gotta have an ally, right? We gotta have an ally. Hold on, y'all look real funny style. How come all y'all meetings niggas out here with booty shorts and flip-flops on? I mean, damn, something ain't right here. So we got to start calling this stuff out. We got to start calling this stuff out when we see these Negroes coming around pivoting and doing COINTELPRO style shit like the ADOS LGBT organization, because that's all they are. And I know they've been trying to troll for the last month. They're butt hurt. Because the Foundational Black American Conference is already a success and is going to be a bigger success when it gets here. So these Negroes are Democratic shills right now. And let me tell you, anybody who's really messing with some damn ADOS right now, you got to be out of your mind. These dudes are clearly clicked in with the damn feds. Do y'all know these niggas got a damn application that they have certain members fill out in different chapters around the country? Folks was hitting me up, telling me this, sending me the application. They got an ADOS application in certain chapters around the country that people got to fill out. What the hell is this? This is the reason why I told people that I can't rock with what they got going on. That's something else. Foundational Black Americans is all about lineage. We're not a group. We're not an organization. We are a lineage of people. Either you are born a Foundational Black American or you weren't. So there are no need to have four-wall meetings. There are no need to have chapters. None of that shit. I am not the leader or the founder. I've never claimed to be and will never claim to be the leader or founder of Foundational Black Americans, because you cannot found a lineage. I just coined a term. When niggas are running around here talking about they're the leaders and the founders and you got to fill out an application, why don't you just go down to the FBI and take your fucking picture and your fingerprints? Just do that. Just speed the process up. Just don't fuck around with it. Just go down there to the FBI and sign up, because that's all you're doing. If you gotta fill out a damn application to be a part of a damn organization, that's telling you right there it ain't about no damn lineage. You might as well go sign up and say, hey, yes, I'm here for the Black Identity Extremist list. Where do I sign? And just go ahead and fingerprint me now. I mean, just fuckery. Just ridiculousness, man. Absolute ridiculousness. That's why, man, anybody rocking with Tone and Yvette, man, y'all get all the way the fuck away from me. Anybody trying to make sense of bullshit like that, get the hell away from me. The line is drawn in the sand. Anybody connected with that organization, I want you to get all the way the hell away from me. Walking around with an ADOS shirt, you might as well put Black Identity Extremist on that at this point. Out of your damn mind. We got to draw the line in the sand right now. We ain't got time to be playing games with folks out here, man. We got to be out here getting it. We got to be on point. We got to be on code. We got to be down for foundational Black American empowerment. These niggas out here telling you don't own businesses, beg these people for damn government jobs, and these niggas can't even keep no damn government job. That's insane. That is insane. And these white supremacists out here on the march heavy, you know, they're having MLK Day this coming Monday in the state of Virginia. They've claimed a state of emergency out there because a lot of white supremacists are going to go out there. They chose MLK Day to go out there to have this gun rally, which is basically a terrorism rally. God knows what's going to happen out there. These white supremacists are going to do something crazy Monday out there in Virginia. All my D.C., Virginia people, y'all better be ready and be on alert because these white supremacists are going to do something because they're already arresting several of them preemptively. These white supremacists are making all these illegal machine guns, so something is going to pop off out there. And they've allowed these white supremacists to fester and fester. And now the shit is going down. They arrested the leader of a swatting cell of white supremacists who they, you know, they call and make those fake police calls. It's a whole cell of them who operate on the dark web. And they're all connected with the neo-Nazis, which I told people that when they swatted me a couple of years ago. Now they're admitting that these swatters, there's whole little groups of them, and they're connected to neo-Nazis and other white supremacists. I told people that the day they did that shit to me, this is not a prank. See, they try to minimize swatting like a prank between gamers. I said, hell no. This is not no damn prank. This is an organized assassination attempt by groups of white supremacists. This was very organized. I'm not a fucking gamer. I don't play no video games. This was a damn assassination attempt by white supremacists. Now they're admitting that, okay, yeah, they're connected to white supremacists, and they have a whole list of political figures, media figures that they were targeting. Now they're admitting. And the reason why they're so skeptical about admitting it is because law enforcement is in cahoots with these dudes, which I've told people. When they did that assassination attempt on my ass, I'm talking to the police and I'm looking at the police and looking at how they acting. I'm like, you motherfuckers are in on this shit. Local police agencies are 100% in on it with these damn swatting Nazi groups. They're in on it. I'm telling you they're in on it because I've experienced it. They are in on it. And we got to understand, when these white supremacists are throwing up their little racist hand signals, we got to take note of that. When that academy of those correction officers out there in Virginia were throwing up the white power sign and they were acting dumb, like, oh, I don't know, they might be throwing up white power. We got to understand, when they're doing that and then you start seeing all of these abuses in these jails where these skinhead groups and these Aryan groups are allowed to attack black people and these white supremacist guards assist them. Just like down there in Mississippi, those white supremacist guards out there are allowing shit to happen to some of the inmates. You have these guards that's on the same page as these neo-Nazi Aryan Nation groups. You dig? These people are sending open codes to each other, letting each other know, hey, we're on the same page. And they're doing it openly because they know that they're not going to get any kind of, they're not going to get any kind of real trouble behind it. And we sit up here talking about some damn coalition. All these white Latino gangs are clicked in with the Aryan Nation. We don't have no coalition. Don't ever let nobody run that minority coalition garbage on you ever, ever, ever again. No group is in a coalition with us, man. We got to draw the line. It's all about us right now. And, you know, this is why we need a network of black lawyers. We need a network of black people who work in law enforcement to let us know what's going on. But we really need a network of lawyers, black lawyers all around the country. We need a network of these lawyers so when something goes down, we got a lawyer in place in one of these cities that we can chip off a couple of dollars to go and investigate, to go get documents, to go see what's popping. Because this is what these white supremacists do. These white supremacists, they got their own little racist lawyers in all these different cities who investigate things for them, file suits for them. Like when Ben Shapiro and Richard Spencer and all these guys want to go on lecture tours and these colleges tell them that they can't come, they have lawyers in all these cities who will sue these colleges for not letting these guys go on campus. So they got their structure in place. See, we need that same thing. We don't need no Nimmy-nominated producer type of lawyer who's very incompetent. We need some thorough brothers out there. We need some thorough brothers out there who can really do some investigating and can file certain suits in certain cities. We need that. I ain't talking about none of these, no Crumps and Merits who's going out here making deals with the damn cops and all that. No, we don't need that either. We need some thorough brothers out here. That's the problem. Because we don't know who the thorough cats are, the Lee Merritts and the Crumps come through making these little old bullshit side deals with the prosecutors where they tell their client to go out here and start hugging the damn race soldiers. We need some real thorough cats who we can paper up so we can chip them up and they'll do our bidding so they're not going to be compromised. We really, 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 really need that. You dig? And we don't need these niggas out here with all these dual allegiances, these dual alliances. Because that's another problem. We're not going to deal with these flip-floppy niggas who's going to be black when it's convenient and something else when it's convenient. There was this one woman, this biracial woman. She was, she's on TikTok. She's on the TikTok app. And also, I got an app coming, guys. When it's ready, I'm going to announce it. But I got another app coming pretty soon. I'm going to keep you guys posted on that, by the way. But there's this woman. Her name is, what's her name? Janine. What is her name? Janine something. Janine. I forgot. So she's this biracial woman. She looks kind of studdish. So she might be LGBT. But she's biracial. White mother. I think she has a black father. And she made a video talking about ghetto black women with big eyelashes. She made some real disparaging comments. And people found out who she was and found out where she worked, and she ended up getting fired. And she made a video in response to her getting fired and her being biracial and all this old stuff. And you got to watch, listen to the language here. Listen to the language and understand. Jenny Reuter, I think that's her name. And she looks like a lesbian. She looks kind of real. She looks real butch, has a short haircut. So this is this biracial chick.
So last week I posted a video that was quite the controversy. It actually caused me to lose my job. But it's actually opening a lot of doors, and I'm here to discuss how unfair it is to be biracial in America. So my DNA contains 50% Caucasian and 50% African American. So if I make a joke about white Trump supporters who want to legalize incestuous marriage, now I'm racist against white people. But if—
okay, I want y'all to catch that. Now, if I make a joke about white people, Trump supporters. So she made it political. If you criticize a white person, you're criticizing a white person's political views. All right? I want y'all to catch that. But
if I make a joke about ghetto black girls that wear those really fake-looking eyelashes, now I'm racist against black people.
Okay, so this is the problem, you ignorant fucking fool. You think, and I'm talking to you, Jenny, I'm talking to her, whatever her name is. See, you think you're an honorary white supremacist. You can criticize a racist white person because I think she thinks she's white in her mind. She's just a dark white person. You criticize a white person, you're criticizing their political views. But if you criticize a black person, you're criticizing them culturally. That's how white supremacists think. This is why folks were clowning you, woman, because you're talking like a damn white supremacist. Let me play it again.
So last week, I posted a video that was quite the controversy. It actually caused me to lose my job. But it's actually opening a lot of doors, and I'm here to discuss how unfair it is to be biracial in America. So my DNA contains 50% Caucasian and 50% African American. So if I make a joke about white Trump supporters who want to legalize incestuous marriage, now I'm racist against white people. But if I make a joke about ghetto black girls that wear those really fake-looking eyelashes, now I'm racist against black people. And it's like, what? Being biracial is like literally walking this tightrope where one side is Caucasian and the other side is African American. And you're not allowed to fall off onto one side or the other because you can't identify fully with one culture or the other. But society will put you in a box and tell you which one's more comfortable for them to identify you as. So
translation, I wish I was white. I was almost white and you niggas messed it up. That's the translation. I was almost white. And you niggas messed it up. Damn it, I cannot be white. That's all that is. That's, I was almost white. And I don't want to accept that I'm looked at as a nigga by these white people. That's tragic mulatto talk.
So I'm proud as hell to be two races. And I'll never choose which race I identify with most. And you're just going to have to deal with it.
Okay. So she's proud as hell to be two races. She's two races. And y'all niggas are just going to have to deal with it. She's never going to choose. So you're just going to have to deal with it. Translation. I wish I was white. White people are rejecting me, but I'm still going to be a mascot for the white supremacist. I'm not going to identify as a Negro. Even though white people look at me that way, I'm going to go out of my way to call out you ghetto black girls and you ghetto niggers, and you're going to have to deal with it. This is why these type of flip-floppy ass niggas, you got to draw the line with them. Or you stay your ass over there. You're not two races. You are not white. You cannot be white and non-white at the same time. Y'all play that tragic mulatto shit if you want to. And you live in this fantasy world. And the minute they start calling you all types of nigga bitches and whoop your ass, she's running around here with a Black Lives Matter shirt. Hey, guys, I've experienced some racism. Can you help me? Is Al Sharpton anywhere available right now? I mean, this is, they called me all types of nigga bitches. And is Tariq anywhere available? Do you know his number, his email? Don't call me. Because her whole family is white. All the images I see of her, she's around nothing but white people. I don't know where that black side of the family is. She don't really kick it with them. Her whole thing is nothing but white people. Stay with them. Because they let niggas like this come around us and infiltrate and try to use her little piece of blackness to infiltrate us. Nah, go and stay over there. You ain't here with us. You're not here culturally, mentally. You're not here with us. So stay on over there with in Zaddy Land and see how that works out for you. And let me tell you something. Your tragic mulattoes, if you're listening. Now, my wife is biracial, but my wife identifies as black. She has always identified as black. Even as she said as a child, she was like, I'm not no fucking biracial. I am black. Always. My wife has never been confused. So when people who are biracial talk about, oh my God, I didn't know. No, you know, you just didn't want to accept it. You just didn't want to accept being black. And that was the tragic part. You just didn't want to accept your fucking blackness. And that's why your mind is all screwed up and screwed over. I'm two races. That's dumb talk. You ain't no two fucking races. You ain't white. You're not white at all. You understand? Yeah, that we got to watch those that the tragic mulatto class, these people who identify and want to be like that white relative. Somebody made a good point about Haiti. That's what messed Haiti up. When Dessalines got all the French up out of Haiti, you had those biracial niggas like, damn, I miss mommy and daddy. Shit, I kind of like, you know, being a Blanc. I like being a LeBlanc. Shit, there's a lot of darkness here. Shit. Then those mulattoes started to undermine the Haitian people. It was the mulatto class that fucked everything up. You dig? Dr. John Henry Clark talked about how that mulatto class was a problem. Those niggas who identify with white and hate their blackness and hate everybody else black because they blame you for them not being white. They were almost white, but y'all niggas messed it up. You got to watch them dudes. Watch them negresses. You got to watch them. Watch those type of people. They are very dangerous. When you see a biracial person who don't identify as black, watch them. When they start talking that shit, I'm too racist. I don't want to give up my mama's side now. I don't want to misidentify. No, they already gave that up. In the system of white supremacy, the minute you were born with a black parent, that shit was given up. You are not white. And if you don't accept that, you are a problem. I don't want you around anything we trying to do because you're just going to fuck it up. You dig? Anyway, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio, ladies and gentlemen. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. By the way, everybody, you should have, by now, everybody should have their holiday Christmas package, those Hidden Colors packages. We had a sale for two damn days. Do y'all know that it's been a month? We've been sending out those packages for a damn month. So many orders came in. It's a month later. We finally got all of them out this week. We got every single order out this week. We were flooded. We were not ready for that big influx of orders. So what we're going to do now that we got all those orders taken care of. And by the way, anybody, if you've ordered and your order has not gotten there yet, email me Monday. Email me Monday. We'll make sure. We'll see what's going on because, again, we sent out thousands of orders. Just email me Monday if you don't have your order, and we'll get your tracking to you and all that. But everybody should have their order by now. What we're going to do for Black History Month, we're going to have the same sale for Black History Month. We're going to do it for the whole month, and we're ready. I got workers at my office. We're already packaging them up. We already got them ready, even before the orders are coming in. We're getting the packaging together. So all we got to do is just slap the labels on them. I showed a video of my office because so many people were like, damn, where's my order? And I showed people a video on my Instagram of everybody working. I had a bunch of people in my office working. And people were like, oh, damn. Oh, shit, y'all are selling a lot of these shits. We got a warehouse. My office is huge. The warehouse was filled up. The main offices were filled up. We literally had orders spilling out the front of the office. And this was just for a two-day sale. I mean, this was just 2 days. So we're getting prepared now. We're getting all the orders ready. We're getting it popping. So we're going to have this thing popping. So again, we're going to have that's going to be on HiddenColorsFilm.com. We're going to have that sale all month. It's going to be popping. And by the way, everybody, don't forget, get your tickets right now for the Foundation of Black American Conference in Atlanta. Oh, we got a great lineup. FBAC2020.com. Get your tickets now. Who should, I want to get another sister. I want to get another thorough sister. I've been really trying to figure out who to bring. What sister who's real, real thorough to bring? Because, you know, Shahrzad Ali, nobody's more thorough than her. When you have her, nobody's really as thorough as Shahrzad Ali. No other sister out here is more thorough than her. So that's a hard, hard act to follow right there. But I do want to have some more sisters on the mix. Somebody said Joy DeGruy. Nah. Who else? I know everybody mentioned Joy DeGruy. Who else? I worked with Joy DeGruy before, and there was some issues. And we were supposed to do something in the UK. There were some other issues popping. So who else? Dr. Ava Muhammad. Was it Jhenda Daniels? So who else? I said Monique. I gotta holler at Monique. I might have to holler at Monique and Sydney down there. I think they're in Atlanta, I think. Somebody said Janet Jackson. Y'all niggas just naming anybody. Y'all just naming any goddamn body. But yeah, throw me some more names of some thorough sisters who we can bring down. That was, somebody said Monique Presley. Oh, no. Somebody said Cynthia, Synthetic G. No, this is not the Bronner Brothers convention where we're selling wigs. No, we're not going to have her. Somebody said Diamond and Silk. You know, it would be funny if we got Diamond and Silk, but it'll be, oh, Lord. Anyway, guys, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com, go to Foundational Black American or FBAC2020.com, and I'm going to holler.